Life Together, Why You Shouldn't Get Drunk, from Ephesians chapter 5. Why? My first why, or why are so many addicted to alcohol and drugs? Oh, how we decry drug abuse. Heroin is on the rise in Knoxville and all over the country, actually. Prescription pain pills, crystal meth, leave people destroyed. But alcoholism and binge drinking is still holding the top spot as far as wrecking lives. Just a few stats, and I won't bore you with too many. 1 out of 10 children in the United States has an alcoholic parent. Approximately 14 million people in the United States are addicted to alcohol or abuse it. 500,000 are dependent on alcohol between the ages of 9 and 12. 3/4 of all domestic violence is perpetrated while someone was drinking or using drugs. 65 people die daily in alcohol-related accidents. 70,000 students per year are sexually assaulted by a person who is drunk or using drugs. So why? Why are people getting drunk or high? And the answer most often given is that people who repeatedly get drunk have a physical addiction. Now, I definitely know this is part of it. It is rooted in our sinful nature. It goes back to Adam and Eve. We have addictions and we have ungodly desires and all kinds of things so rooted that we say it's part of our physical self. It is our original sin that becomes our original sins, unique sins of our life. But the spiritual component of this is really huge. Jesus came to redeem us, to buy us back from slavery, to set us free from our addictions, and give our lives back to us out of the grip of the evil one. I know Jesus drank wine, and I do too. I would imagine he would drink beer if beer had been there in that day, and I do too. As the Bible says, many places it can bring you cheer and pleasure to your life. And I have a huge sympathy for those entrapped by addiction and those who flirt with it. I had a fraternity brother in college. My fraternity was known for drinking a lot and getting high. In fact, it would end up ruining our fraternity as they were thrown off the campus years after I left. And there was this one fraternity brother who, frankly, I didn't get along with. He was part of a group that was always getting drunk and high. But he was known to be a heavy drinker. And then after a period of time, he started doing some really peculiar things. He started standing in the corner of our fraternity living room. And he would stand there. I mean, this is very odd. He was quite a boisterous guy. But he was quiet when he was standing in the corner. And he'd sort of be picking things like this. I know, it was very odd. He had a girlfriend who just seemed as odd as he did. And sometimes they'd stand in the corner alone. Now, he had a lot of good friends in the fraternity of that wild group, you know. But eventually, this got too much for them, too. And they literally called the guys in the white coats. And they came and they took him away. He had alcohol-induced psychosis, which happens more frequently than you know. A lot of my fraternity brothers believed that getting drunk and getting high equaled happiness. And that deception came from who? Satan. That's right. Thank you. Satan. Satan is behind the deception that happiness and fun are to be had by getting drunk. A young woman said, "When I was drunk, I felt comfortable in my own skin for a change." But thankfully, she discovered being inebriated did nothing for her. It was only continuously deteriorating her mind, body, and soul. She was freed from it. She got better. I have heard too many heartbreaking stories of families hurt deeply by an addicted father, an addicted mother, sibling, or friend. Anyone been in the ministry my length of time will have heard many of these stories too. And what is so frustrating to me is this is the problem that I deal with that does not resolve itself easily. In fact, perfectly honest, I have had less success with this problem than any that I dealt with. The first part of being free is to repent to God. I'm talking about the addicted now. To beg the forgiveness of those you've hurt. And you would say, "I didn't even know I hurt them." But you did. And plead the blood of Jesus Christ to grant you freedom. Our scripture for today must be taken in context. Hear this clearly. You are not saved. You are not right with God because you've lived a good life. There are alcoholics and drug addicts who are going to heaven, whereas there are sober model citizens who are going the opposite place, going to hell. We are all sinners in need of the grace of Jesus Christ, in need of forgiveness. Every one of us, every one of us. We are saved by grace, not by our good works, and this through faith in Jesus. So nobody can boast about how good they are, because actually nobody's that good. Right? Okay. So we're all on board here. If people really knew about you, they could probably pick out things that, right. But now, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have come into the light. You can see what pleases God in your living, and yes, what displeases Him. What's more, He blesses you by telling you His word and how to live life to the maximum. How to have that joy and peace in your life. And then he tells us to be careful, because we can be lured back into the darkness. We have to be careful how we live, right? Sure we do. Satan is a schemer. He's a trap setter. He wants to lure us. He wants to tempt us to come back into the darkness. He is so clever. Don't be a stiff. Have fun. Drink up. Snort that. Lose your inhibitions. Get that girl into bed. Hook that guy. Perhaps you've heard these very same suggestions, right? I know I have. Debauchery. That's the word in our scripture today. Did you catch that? Debauchery. It's not a word you hear very often, is it? Did you have a debauched weekend? You know? Debauchery, giving full rein to your base desires, which will ultimately lead to all kinds of pain. Satan is having great, great success in our country, really throughout the world. The word today is so relevant to our culture, so right on, so accurate. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are, what did it say? The days are evil. The days are evil. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So, what is the Lord's will? What is the Lord's will? Obviously, it is to stay in the light. Why do we sabotage ourselves so often? You know what I mean? Well, let me tell you what I mean. Why do we say? A common error is that you give in to a temptation. You get drunk. You look at porn. You lose your temper. And I could go on and on and on if I didn't hit yours next week. And you say to yourself, well, I can't help it. This is just the way I am. Wrong! Oh, that's so wrong. You are a believer. You are a child of God. Repent and then get back in the fight. Get yourself up and don't say, no, this is just the way I am. Do you think God ever intended for people to be alcoholics or adulterers? Did he intend for that? No, that's the original corruption of our nature. Oh, people say, well, it's in their genes. Well, okay, I can go along with that. It's the corruption of their genes by sin. That's the spiritual element. Say, no, no. I did this once. It does not make me that. Are you a drunkard? No, you're a child of God who has a battle. Listen, faith in Jesus doesn't mean we check our brains at the door. As it says in Romans 12, Christ will transform our thinking to conform to the will of God. And this means two things. Number one, it means God will give you a joy and pleasure in His commands, in His ways. In other words, you will clearly see that His ways are most beneficial, satisfying, good, and helpful. His transforming of your mind means a second thing. A transformed mind will help you identify the tricks, the traps, the lies, the schemes of Satan. You will know it when you see it. Getting drunk is one of them. There is not one good thing that results when you lose your senses, when you get drunk or get high. Regardless of what people say, not one good thing. We drink to get drunk for joy, and we become miserable. We drink to get drunk to be sociable, and we become argumentative. We drink to become drunk to be cheered up, we become depressed. We drink to become drunk to be part of the in crowd, and we become obnoxious. We drink to get drunk to help us sleep, and we awake exhausted with a headache. We drink to get drunk for confidence, and we act stupidly. Traps. It's a trap. Now, don't miss my point here. I'm going to have a nice wine or a beer, and that is enjoyment. Moderation, right? Moderation. So if you offer me a beer when I come to your house, I will drink it. And if you offer me Merlot, I'm going to sip it. All right? I just want you to know that. Here's what I suggest we all do. This is what I do. Constantly, I pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Spirit, guide my life, transform my eye, open my eyes. I love the contrast our Word of God gives us today. Don't be filled with distilled spirits, but be filled with the divine spirit, the Holy Spirit. Alcohol and drugs, when used wrongly, deaden. The Spirit brings life. We don't need alcohol or opiates to deaden the pain of living, because the Holy Spirit helps us in all our trials and all our pains. The Spirit lights up our path and brings us the genuine article: peace and joy. So let me ask you this. What is the controlling influence of your life? And what do you want it to be? I hope you can say it is faith in Jesus Christ and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's the controlling influence of my life. Why should you not get drunk? Because there's something that's light years better. Pray to be filled with the Spirit and know the fantastic joy that He can give you. In Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen. 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 Would you please rise?